Welcome to Thriving Through Menopause, where we talk about this time of life, mind, body, and spirit. I'm your host, Clarissa Christensen. Each week, I'm joined by top professionals dropping their tips and advice. Remember, episodes drop every Tuesday. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a beat. And if you like this podcast, please rate and review it. Thank you, because this helps others to find the show. You can check out our website, find out which episodes are coming up, and get the latest blog and advice by going to my website, thrivethroughmenopause.com, and get ready to thrive, not just survive, through perimenopause and beyond. Welcome to another episode of Thriving Through Menopause. I'm your host, Clarissa Christensen, and today we're going to be talking about a very favorite topic of mine, which is Pilates and yoga. And I have someone very special to join us today who is a real expert in this space. She's been spending at least 17 years of her life working with Pilates and yoga. She is Emma Jury. She is the founder of ePilates Online. And welcome to the show, Emma.
Thank you so much, Clarissa. I'm really excited to be here and talking to you and your listeners. I really appreciate coming on. Thank you.
I love the fact that we're going to talk about a topic that we haven't really explored, that I've been practicing for many years myself. So I'm excited to be talking to you.
I'm thrilled.
Let's begin, Emma, with maybe why Pilates and yoga for midlife women?
There are so many reasons to incorporate Pilates and yoga into your movement regimes. There are benefits to us physically, but also mentally. We, as you know, Clarissa, we definitely strengthen the body with both Pilates and yoga. We also improve our flexibility. Both of them are great ways to strengthen in terms of the bones, you know, to prevent osteoporosis. We do a lot of weight bearing and using our own body weight, but we also tend to focus a lot on breathing in both practices. So that has effects that help our both, you know, balancing our hormones, but also balancing our mental state, and keeps us feeling very positive and a sense of well-being. So many, many reasons.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we're hearing a lot more about the importance of core strength, aren't we?
Absolutely. And Pilates especially focuses a lot on core strength. Both of them do, the Pilates and yoga do help with pelvic floor strengthening, core strengthening, but even more so Pilates. We do have a focus on working from our center, really getting connected to what we call our core. Actually makes up a lot of our body that we don't even realize. A lot of us think core is just abdominals, but it actually is its shoulders, its back, its glutes, its pelvic floor. It's all of this area. So we do get quite strong in what we call our trunk. So the core strength is really important as we, you know, age, and all throughout life, actually, for injury prevention, but also just to stay connected to our center.
Yes, definitely. And I think a lot of women, and I'd say myself, still have a pretty weak core. Would I be right there?
Do you know, sometimes I even feel weak. So yes, I think we all sometimes can improve on that, to be honest. You know, it's constant. We actually have to be working at keeping our body strong constantly. You know, the body has muscle memory. So, you know, if we stop for a little while, it's definitely going to get weaker. So, you know, it's something that we, if we can keep up a little bit regularly, it's definitely worthwhile and essential.
Essential. And there are different forms of Pilates, aren't there? In case the listeners are not so familiar, there are different forms. Talk a little bit about those, Emma, and the benefits of the different aspects of Pilates.
So the Pilates does have a few different ways that you can practice it. So there is the mat Pilates, which a lot of people are aware of, you know, the exercises on the mat. There is also exercises on different machines called the reformer, the Cadillac, the chair and the barrel. So all variations of, you're getting a similar effect in all of them. You're focusing on the core, but some of them focus a little bit more on giving you resistance from strengthening, from springs that we use. So there are different pieces of equipment. You can also use props on the mat, so things to squeeze, the ball, the magic circle. I'm looking at you now. I know you've tried those. They're quite painful. They can be painful. So yes, a lot of the equipment can give very good effects very quickly. That's the beauty of Pilates, actually. It gets results quickly.
That's very true. And certainly when I lived in Sydney, Pilates was huge, really enormous there. And yes, some of those equipment, especially the rings, whoa. And then I did Pilates bar as well, which was like a really tough.
Oh, bar is, yes. I taught bar for many years. I was the first to teach bar in Australia, actually, and bring bar to Australia in my studio. So yes, bar is like a Pilates on steroids, amplified.
Yeah, and anybody who thinks it's weaker than lifting weights, no, you come away at the end of the session thinking, oh my Lord, what just went down here? Definitely. But you combine as well Pilates with Hatha yoga. What are the particular benefits of doing that, Emma?
Yeah, it took me a long time to get into yoga, actually, or to find the style that I liked and or to just kind of gravitate. I guess it's, you know, it's something that sometimes you have to be a bit ready for, because it does bring in a lot of mindfulness, even though there is a lot of practices of yoga that focus very much on the physical. It's quite strenuous, but there are some styles that are slower and tend to bring in a lot more mindfulness and breathing techniques. So, I was very diehard Pilates for many, many years and dabbled in yoga for a long time, but then finally came to something that, and I was ready, I think, that really gravitated to me. And it was a combination of both, as you call it, Hatha yoga, which is, it incorporates definitely the physical aspects, not too many crazy poses necessarily, but also the mindfulness. So I think incorporating this with the Pilates is an amazing mix. We, I think, get different benefits from both modalities. The yoga can open us up in ways that sometimes a little deeper in certain positions than Pilates tends to get. Also, the breathing and the mindfulness is slightly different too, depending on who you're practicing with. So the combination, I think, is a real winner. And you getting both different benefits from both.
That sounds actually wonderful. And yeah, I love that, because I've practiced both and still do quite a lot of Pilates moves and yoga. And they are different, but they are amazing. And we just ignore the dog and I'll scrub her out. One of the things that you talked and come back to several times is breath. I mean, breath is very important in this whole aspect of being well and being strong. What in particular do you see as the benefits of breath?
Yeah, so breathing really does get us, when we're paying attention to it, we're not holding the breath, because a lot of us actually tend to hold our breath. We don't even realize it in everyday life. We, you know, getting stressed in our daily lives, whatever it may be, and we can unconsciously hold our breath. I even notice I do it when I'm typing on my phone. I've actually noticed I'm holding my breath. So it's sometimes unconscious. So once we start to move and we are aware of our breath, we are focused on our breath, that practice on the mat with the breathing to help us get in touch with our body again, reconnect to our body, helps us in everyday life. Because if we stop breathing and hold our breath under stressful situations, this actually does freeze our diaphragm. Diaphragm is the area that moves up and down, the big mushroom-like muscle under our ribs. And it's really essential for breathing. And if, you know, that gets sort of tight, if we're stressed, it slows down and affects our breathing. So breathing's going to help us not only calm the mind, because the two are connected. So the mind and the breath, as you know, you teach mindfulness, are very connected. When we calm the breath, we calm the mind. But also this connection to our diaphragm when we're breathing also does connect to the pelvic floor. And we have, which is something I'd like to talk to you a bit about today, connections with our fascia and our pelvic floor and our breathing and diaphragm area. So there's so many ways that, you know, good breathing can influence our life in a positive way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there you mentioned that connection to the pelvic floor. And I think a lot of us are unaware of the relationship between how we breathe and our pelvic floor maybe not being as intact as we might like it.
Yeah, it's true, because our pelvic floor actually is like a little mini diaphragm. So, you know, the diaphragm that moves when we breathe, you know, it allows the air to fill in our lungs. The pelvic floor also has to move to allow that space. It's kind of like, you imagine filling up a balloon. You know, once you fill up that balloon, you have to expand. So the pelvic floor moves with our breathing. So as we breathe in, it lowers. As we breathe out, it lifts. It's this kind of tandem moving with our diaphragm. So it's incredible how the breathing, when we calm the breath, you know, and control our breath a little more, affects everything, even in our pelvic floor.
Yeah, and you reminded me there, Emma, of a mindfulness practice that I teach, which is three diaphragmatic breathings, because we have a small diaphragm also in our throat area. And although we're much more aware of the bigger diaphragm by the sheer size of the muscle, if we tune in, we can actually be able to feel all three of those diaphragms expanding and contracting. And it's, yes, very calming, but it has a physiological effect.
So true. You're exactly right.
Yeah. So talk a bit more. We mentioned their fascia, and obviously people may not even be aware what fascia are. So maybe we'll start.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. I like to describe it a couple of ways. So to give you a bit of an analogy, the chicken, you know, if anyone is vegetarian, but if you have a piece of chicken or steak, you see the stringy bits in, you know, when you peel maybe off a piece of the meat, it has a bit of white stringy tissuey area attached in the chicken, or you may see in the red meat, the little lines of white threads, tissuey bits through the red meat. That is actually the fascia, and it runs throughout the whole body for us, from top of the head to the toes. And it's kind of like a netting, if you like, a weaving of this tissue throughout the muscles, throughout you know, the joints, everywhere, running through the tendons and ligaments sort of areas. And so this fascia is affected in everyday life, just as our muscles are. For example, if our muscles get tight and stiff, you know, the fascia can also be the same. So they're kind of interrelated. And we have fascial, what we call fascial lines running throughout our body. One of them is through the pelvic floor. So for women who want to strengthen the pelvic floor, which is often what a lot of people teach to do or believe they need to do, it's also just as important to release the pelvic floor. So we don't want to create too much tightness. We also want to create a supple pelvic floor. So often what I teach to my clients is a kind of a releasing of the pelvic floor before they strengthen. For example, one way you can do that is to sit on a ball, like something like a a play ball or something that's a little bit firm but not too firm, not like a tennis ball. You can even get to that point, and maybe you don't want to start with that. But if you sit on a ball in the area between pubic bone and anus area, then if you sit there on a ball, you will actually be releasing the fascia in the pelvic floor area. It's quite simple. You can even do it for 5 minutes. And then there is more, if you like, elasticity. There is more mobility in that area. You can then strengthen and you get a kind of get better results, if you like. So it's important that the pelvic floor is strong yet supple.
That sounds so logical. And in fact, today there was a post on social media where somebody had talked about, you know, softening and releasing the pelvic floor. And people going, what do you mean? I thought we were just supposed to tighten it. But Emma, there you have just beautifully explained the reasons why, because obviously we're relaxing, so we can tighten. Whereas if you're starting from a tight point, it's harder to tighten.
That's true. That is so true. And if you imagine, another analogy I like to give, you imagine you're carrying your groceries in one arm and you've got that bicep muscle squeezing tight the whole time, it's going to fatigue. So it's like you can't, it's like the pelvic floor, you can't, it's another muscle, you can't walk around with it squeezing constantly all the time, it's going to fatigue. So it's important that we strengthen and release. We are strengthening and releasing, and that way it's a little bit more functional. It's actually what the pelvic floor does in everyday life, because we wouldn't walk around with it squeezing all the time. Yeah.
No, and then we'd be zipped up all the time, which is quite hard to do. And similarly, other forms, I mean, yoga and Pilates as well do release other fascia, don't they, in the body?
Exactly. So when we are doing those movements in yoga where we are reaching away, we're feeling like we're stretching the body, we're holding certain poses, we are releasing the fascia throughout the whole body. Similarly in Pilates, when we have the feeling of reaching away, we're always feeling lengthening, we are getting that stretch. And it's interesting, the fascia actually, every night we go to sleep, it sort of shortens and tightens up, if you like. So every morning we wake up, we are getting up with a little bit more tightness in that fascia, if tightness is the best word to use. But so it's interesting, you wake up in the morning, you feel a little bit stiff. It's often through not moving that our fascia does change during the night. So it's really good in the morning to do some stretches and to get that fascia releasing, because it does accumulate over the years if we don't keep releasing that.
Yeah, and it's one of the things, I suppose, why we end up feeling a bit creaky and less flexible, especially if we don't move.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then when we do become, you know, creaky and we get stiff, this is when, you know, we're not going to as easily recover if we get an injury, or we are more prone to injury. So the more we can stay flexible and supple, the less chance that we are going to be injured. So these are all great things to remember, you know, why we're doing these kind of exercises. I always like to come back to why. It's really so that we can make sure our life is as best as it can be. You know, it's not, it's less injuries. It's, if we do happen to fall, then we fall and we can tumble. This is what Pilates is great to teach us. You know, we do a lot of rolling around on the mat, and that's exactly what will help us. If we happen to fall one day, we're going to roll. We're not just going to plonk.
Yes. And I, having had a fall out here with my dog the other day, I was very grateful because I fell quite gracefully rather than
there you go exactly
and got up.
This is it. I got up
and my husband kind of looked, oh, you've fallen. I said, yes, but I didn't hurt myself, because I just kind of rolled and got up and thought, well, that was a bit unnecessary, but there we are. She pulled away too fast and there's nothing I can do with her when she does that. But it is important, that flexibility, because we are more prone to trips and falls as we get older. we want to be flexible to bend down and pick up our grandkids.
Absolutely. It's so important to still be mobile and, yeah, to play with the grandkids and, yeah, to know the limitations of our body. And the more we're doing the Pilates moves, which is bending down, picking, you know, like we would be bending down, picking things up, that's what we do in Pilates. We're stretching forward. We're, you know, arching backwards. We're doing all those kind of movements, same in yoga as well. And it just makes everyday life movements so much easier.
And we're doing it from the core all the time so that the central body is strong, isn't it, Emma? All the time we're staying kind of within balance. And obviously if that core is strong, we're less likely to trip, to fall.
Exactly. It's a ripple effect. You know, reaching for something in the cupboard, you are more likely to put the shoulder in the right position rather than, you know, push it out of alignment as you're doing some kind of movement. Or if you're in the garden doing your gardening, you're more likely to be moving from the right way, exactly what you say, from the center. So you'll be more efficient as well in your movements.
Yes, and we build a lot of bone strength, don't we, as well as and muscle strength from doing yoga and Pilates.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of weight bearing elements. There are planks, which, you know, are a big part of both practices. There are, you know, lifting forward movements, lifting backward movements. So you are working the bones and the muscles in different ways. So it's not, I love the gym and I love doing weights, but it can sometimes, you know, be the same unless you've got, you know, some knowledge on different movements to do. But in Pilates and yoga, you do get a lot more variation in the movements. So it's fantastic for the bones and to prevent osteoporosis.
Oh, absolutely. How does somebody even get started in this space? They're hearing you talking here, Emma, and they're kind of like, wow, that sounds fantastic, but how do we even get going? Where do we start?
Yeah, and a good question. Often people think they have to be flexible to start, but in fact, this is the opposite. You don't have to be, and it's what's going to help you get flexible. It's definitely a practice for everybody. If you have maybe gone to a class that doesn't feel, or a session that doesn't feel right for your level, don't give up, because there is a version for you. And I think that's an important thing to note. There are many different types, and variations of both Pilates and yoga. So it's a matter of finding the right one for you. You can either start in a studio, you can start ideally one-to-one is the ultimate. It's not as cheap, obviously, as doing group classes, but that's the ultimate. But you can even start online. I have a lot of clients online who are part of my membership, and it's sometimes often a misconception that you can't start something like this online because you don't have anyone there to check you. But if you start steady and slow and you don't rush through the process, then it's completely fine. And I have a lot of members who have been brand new and have seen incredible results and are amazing. So there's many ways to get started, as long as you make sure you start from the beginning and not rush through to get to, you know, a level that you're not ready for too quickly.
Yeah, I think that's true, because I think some of the moves can be really very complicated, can't they, Emma? I mean, you can really have to, how can I say, strain, and you think, wow, I can't do this. But you don't have to do planks up on your feet initially and things
exactly,
like that.
Not at all. You can do, you know, modifications, and that's the great part about Pilates. You can modify, and it's perfect for all ages, for all levels. One of my clients, actually, I didn't know, I have a lot of ladies in their 70s actually in my online program. One lady told me just yesterday, I didn't even know she's 79. She's doing all sorts of yoga, not just with me, but yoga, Pilates. She does all my challenges, and I had no idea. She's such an inspiration. Yeah, so definitely open to all levels, because you can modify as long as you learn what you're capable of. And the most important thing I try and teach my clients is to listen to their body. So always know when something doesn't feel right, you are your best teacher, and to always listen to your body. That's your guide, rather than listen to the instructor sometimes. If your little intuition is telling you, oh, this doesn't feel right for me, maybe I should stop, you always listen to that. You never want to force it unless you feel comfortable. So yeah, there's always ways to modify.
That's really, really important, actually. And if someone said to you, well, I'd love to do yoga or Pilates, but all the classes are an hour, how do we get over that time poor mentality?
Yes, this is a big thing that we talk about a lot in my program with my members. We do sometimes 5, 10, 15 minute workouts. And I really reiterate that this is just as good for you as doing an hour. There is a lot of benefit in doing small increments. And I know you're aware of this. This is so important, you know, in so many facets of our life that little bits add up and they make big changes in the end. So you never have to worry about not having to fit in a full hour's workout. 5, 10, 15 minutes is a really great start to build up. I know I've just recovered from COVID a couple of months ago, and even myself, I'm slowly building up. I'm only doing half hour sessions. You know, it's started little and it's building up. So we all go through those moments where we can do more and other moments we can do less. So
yeah, definitely. And that's, I think that's quite inspirational. And I think that's part of an ongoing trend now, to do less but more effective training.
It is. And then just to build that habit, because we as humans like to feel that we, you know, do a good job and we're rewarded when we complete something. So if we complete a 10-minute workout, we're going to feel good. We've actually done something and we're more likely to come back tomorrow to do another workout. Whereas if we set ourselves an hour's class, we don't feel like we can do the hour, something interrupts us, we don't get finished, we maybe don't feel as good, you know, if we don't complete this, then, you know, we make it a bigger deal to start the next day perhaps. So if you do build up slowly, if you do reward yourself with, you know, those achievements, then you are more likely to build onto a strong daily habit.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like over and over again, mindset is very important, yes. Isn't it?
Huge, yes.
Yes. And what if somebody came to you and said, well, I actually am carrying an injury or I have a pelvic floor issue. How do we deal with that?
So I have had many injuries myself in the past and just from being very active throughout my life. And I've also helped a lot of clients rehabilitate from injuries. So I've done a lot of rehabilitation on my own body and worked alongside physios and osteos. So in something like Pilates, we can modify, we can use Pilates and like a clinical style of Pilates to rehabilitate. So there's always ways around an injury. If you have come back from having an injury and you're not completely healed or you need to heal, there are definitely some powerful exercises and techniques you can use to get stronger and improve. I have knee, hip, shoulder, back, all kinds of classes, tutorials on how to improve injuries in those areas in my online programs. And in terms of pelvic floor, it's important to what we call bear down in class. So if you have incontinence, if you have prolapse, then it's important to learn how to engage the pelvic floor doing exercise rather than pushing down and what we call bearing down during exercise. So there is definitely techniques to learn and to help work around if you have any of those kind of issues.
Yeah, and is that good in those sort of instances for someone maybe to work one-on-one so they get the right feeling?
Ideally, if you can do that, that's the best. That's ideal if you can get a specific program created for you. Yet in saying that, I have had amazing success with my online program with pelvic floor strengthening and women coming back from giving birth. So what I teach is something that is safe for a lot of women to do online as well. So yeah, ideally if you can get one-to-one, and that's not always possible. So there are definitely other ways. Yep.
Brilliant. And I think one of the things that you do is also talk a lot about helping people to love their own bodies and find health and happiness. That sounds wonderful, Emma. I mean, how do you feel personally that Pilates and yoga contribute to those things?
Definitely. It's I've actually had moments in my life where I definitely didn't love my body. I punished my body in ways of eating disorder and I think just in, you know, younger life, not looking after my body as much as I do now, that's for sure. And so it is huge. I think part of what I preach to my clients or preach it, I do actually really drive this message home, you know, because a lot of my clients, when they first start training with me, they tend to beat themselves up a little bit. Don't, you know, if they haven't done enough training this day or if they haven't done this well, I'm always teaching them, you know, this is a process. You always need to see the glass half full. What you've done is an amazing job. And we all also focus a lot more on the feeling that the Pilates and yoga gives you rather than the aesthetics, if you like. Obviously, we know that it strengthens and tones and you look amazing from doing these workouts, but you also feel incredible. And that's the biggest part. I always really reiterate that to my clients. Focus on how you feel after a workout and you will keep coming back. That's the key.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if we feel that buzz, that joy, we're like, oh yes, I achieved, I feel better. And you're right, over time we do build up a sense of a stronger, healthier body, and that makes us happy too.
Absolutely. And the breathing and the mindfulness and the focus, what happens internally. So, you know, we're also used to being distracted with our phones, with everything in everyday life. That time when you're actually practicing Pilates and yoga, because there is so much to focus on, getting, you know, the moves, getting the body in the right place, connecting the right muscles, you can't be anywhere else. You know, you have to be very focused, very present, or you get in trouble by your teacher. No, you need to be present for that time. So it's an amazing, it gives you an amazing outcome with lasting benefits that go beyond just that moment after the workout.
Definitely. And I think that sense that you come into class, you don't have your mobile phone with you focus for those times. It's amazing, it really is, because it's very easy to just spend your life on this social media and never get off it, or at work flicking emails. So there is that side, that benefit definitely to yoga and Pilates.
Sure is.
So what would be your top three tips to someone who is listening to this and saying, I'm kind of interested, okay, what are going to be the top three tips to get me going, to get me started and exploring this and taking it on?
Yeah, great. Like I mentioned earlier, I would strongly advise to choose something that feels right for you. So there are going to be many different styles. And I think I never realized that when I first got into yoga. I didn't know there were so many styles. I'm thinking, oh, this one I wasn't interested in, so I won't go back. You know, I think understanding that there is, you know, there's something for everybody, and it's a matter of finding what's right for you. So don't give up after the first attempt, and don't think that it's, you know, not for you, because there will be something. And also I think choose the instructor that you gravitate to, because again, it can be a very different experience with one instructor than another, and it may be that they're still teaching the same things, but they may explain it in a different way. And I think we can learn something from every instructor. Everyone has their own way of teaching things, but same way, gravitate to who, you know, fits for you at that time. And I think just, you know, grab little bits at a time, like give yourself the time to get strong. Don't expect it to happen immediately because it is a journey. So be patient with yourself.
Yeah, those are great, great tips. And I think I could only say that that's the same. Yoga is full of different types and styles. Some are harder than others. Some are more physical than others. And the same with Pilates. There's a big difference between going to a mat class to going to reformer class and definitely trying those out. Or maybe weaving them all in together. And yeah, you have to gravitate. You have to like your instructor, because otherwise you're never really going to take those messages on board. So I love those tips, Emma. So where can people find out more about your programs and the work you do?
So I'm teaching mostly online now. I'm based in Malaysia, so I do teach some face-to-face classes, but I do teach a lot online. And I can be found at ePilates, E for Emma, or electronic, ePilatesOnline.com. My programs are for women, and I do have a couple of guys in my sessions, but I focus mainly on helping women. We have an amazing program that's basically my online studio. It's called the Core Fit Club, and I have women from the age of 20 right through 18. I think my youngest lady is, maybe she's 20 now, but right through, like I said, to 79, in this incredible community of supportive women and a couple of guys. And we do different classes every month, different tutorials, and I provide a calendar for the clients so they don't have to think about what classes to choose. I give them a laid out calendar every month to follow. So it's a really fun environment to get started. But I also help women pre and postnatal as well. So I have a program for postpartum women, which is also the same program to help improve and strengthen the pelvic floor, and also prenatal online program.
That is wonderful, Emma. And we are going to put all of that into the show notes so that people can connect with you. And I would say definitely follow Emma on Instagram, where your ePilates.
Yes,
online.
That's it. Instagram, ePilates Online, and Facebook, ePilates Online as well. Thank you. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I would love to hear from anyone. We actually do have quite a few free Pilates programs and classes available. So anytime you head to my Instagram or my website, you can jump on and sign up to get some free classes to be sent to you to try at home. Definitely would love to teach you.
That is fantastic, Emma. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing passion around these two brilliant ways of building strength, flexibility at whatever age.
Love that. Thank you so much. Love chatting to you, Clarissa. Keep up the great training.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Thriving Through Menopause. If you like this podcast episode, please hop over to my website, thrivethroughmenopause.com, and rate and review it. And thank you if you do that, because it helps others to find the show. Want more news and views on perimenopause and menopause? Then sign up to my weekly newsletter, Heart of Menopause, over on Substack. Thank you once again for listening, and see you next week for another guest interview helping you to thrive through menopause.